We love hip hop.
Let's start this off again. It's cool. Jeans here.
Dollars never disappear, ho.
Cheese.
We in the slums all over the world, baby.
We love hip hop. We love hip hop. We love hip hop.
A classic time right here. We got the legend in the building.
Come on.
We love hip hop.
A special honor.
Hey.
We love hip hop.
It's about to go down.
Truck nigga made a million off of Mac.
Yeah.
Feel it when we stack and got $1 billion back.
Uh-huh.
Versace Ambo made denimis of fashion. Don't let my hair rest. The feeling of living.
Come on.
Classic material right there, fam.
Come on, man.
All right, so let's get into it right off the top here,
let's
fam. You know what I'm saying? Big thanks for coming through and doing this with me here today.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And also, you know, even before I start this here, what I want to do is give a big salute to my sponsors because I'm smoking good here today. You know what I mean? Big salute to the sponsors, Astro Pink. If you know, you know. Mm. Check them out on their website, myastropink.com, or you can check them out on the Instagram, astro_pink. Sing.
Most definitely. And I just want to, you know, show some love to yourself because what you do for the culture, you know what I'm saying? What you do for the community, I appreciate that.
No, thank you.
You know what I'm saying? We need a voice. We need a opportunity to speak the truth.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes with the music, you can only say so much.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
So I just want to give you your flowers and I appreciate you for everything you do. Just know it's nothing but love.
No, thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, doing stuff like this, like it's a very special honor to me, right?
Mm.
Because I speak to a lot of young artists.
Yeah.
And I feel when I get to speak to vets in the game like yourself,
yeah,
who have experience, who've been able to get a bunch of different features from people and
sure,
know how to clear them,
yeah,
we're going to be able to get some jewels out of this conversation that
most
we're about
definitely
to have right here.
Most definitely.
Right? So with no further ado, we have Harvey Stripes in the motherfucking building.
Talk to him. Hey.
Yo, so fam, okay, to start off this year, right?
Yeah.
I know you're a man that does it big. You know what
Most
I'm saying?
Definitely, yeah.
And I'm going to be doing some bad podcasting here. I'm going to timestamp this because we're in the beginning of 2023.
For sure, yeah.
What was the New Year's Eve celebration for Harvey Stripes this year?
To be honest, this year, I mean, like most years, it's just important to be around a family,
mm-hmm,
be around a gang. The gang is my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas that I treat. And I feel these are my brothers.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying?
And I want to see them make millions with me. You know what I'm saying? Yo Gotti's brother flew to town.
Whoa,
he came to
shit
fuck with me. You know what I'm saying? And connect with some of my business partners from the mm-hmm club. And I mean, to me, like, just surrounding yourself with positive energy, making sure your family is straight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Making sure your goals are on point every year. You know, I don't make really New Year's resolutions. All year round, I'm trying to improve myself and find new paths and goals that I can say I could generate more income or show my guys to make more income.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm about. Just consistent growth, consistent positivity and love. And that's what I really stand for.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, listen, fam, I appreciate you coming through and doing this with
sure
me because even with like your story.
Yeah.
You have a very unique story in this rap game.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
You've been able to attain a lot of different successes here,
mm-hmm,
but you're not like the average Toronto rapper that people know, that I interview out here. Like,
okay.
You come from a city about 600 kilometers down the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
Ottawa,
mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? And then you moved here at some point in like maybe 2009, 2010.
Yeah,
right?
Around there. 2008, I was scoping out cribs.
Mm.
2009, it was the moment for me to make that move.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Ottawa, like Ottawa is a great city to like show you how to move in the first place.
Okay.
Are you a hustler? You get your feet wet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was 18. I had 18 people working for me. That's facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I went to university in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out my guy, Malcolm. He was able to handle certain operations for me while I had to, like, you know, make sure my books was on point. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was a life, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, in Ottawa, there's a glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of people feel they can only achieve a certain amount of success.
Yeah.
And that's as far as the artists go. That's as far as the hustlers go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I feel like my mentality was like, the glass ceiling is not going to affect me.
Mm-hmm.
I see myself bigger than the city. And I love the city because I would be nothing without the city.
Yeah.
But I couldn't stop at the city's limits. And I was having a vision. I'm not going to lie. I had a vision that I was going to run into a nigga in a gas station or a nigga going to run into me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small city. And I said to myself at one point, I got to make sure my family good.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make sure my team is good. And I got to find a bigger canvas,
yeah,
a bigger platform to operate on. And Toronto was right there. You know, shout out to my guy, Merch, Beat Merch, Chef Merch, mm-hmm, however y'all know him. But, you know, he is a Toronto guy that came out to Ottawa, mm-hmm, to go to college to fuck with me. And he was a guy that kind of like, he was the anchor to be like, yo, come back to the city. I see what you're trying to do. We was getting money together in Ottawa. And he was like, this is the city for you. Come to Toronto. You know what I'm saying? So with that said, I made the move. I came to the city. I came to Toronto. Opened up my eyes. I seen life 10 times bigger. I want to say 2 times, but no, 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
If not 100 times bigger. I never thought I could be a millionaire in Ottawa ever. I never thought I could turn people to millionaires in Ottawa ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You never learned about real estate or open up your own businesses or... You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain things that you never really seen in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So coming out here, I really just kind of opened up my eyes and my mind. Toronto is a city of entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm,
where Ottawa was a city of, like, not as far as the streets are concerned, but there's a lot of people that, like, they go to school, they go to to work for the government, things of that nature.
It's the capital city,
right? Yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's like, Toronto is really a city for, like, free thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got your mind open. You're going to get some money somehow, some way. You could start a clothing line. You could start a brand.
Yeah.
You could start anything. You could start a podcast.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, there's ways to monopolize and monetize any kind of like source of thinking, because this is a city that encourages entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is a city for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I came out here. I caught a case after like a couple months. Mother was like, come home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was a crazy call on the pay phones. Niggas ain't on pay phones no more. But in them days, we don't have pay phones.
Yeah.
Come on, like, mama.
Did you have to go to the Don over here when you first got here?
Nah, I was sent to Lindsay. It was a short term.
No, Lindsay's still kind of rough, though.
Nothing serious. I'm not going to stand on it like, hey, I'm a nigga that did some crazy business shit. I keep it 100. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You beat the case, a little conditional discharge, something light, super light. You know what I mean? But just experiencing that and being in that environment, I was like, this is not the place for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the place for anybody.
Yeah.
Where they cage you and treat you like, you know what I'm saying? Like motherfucking animals. Free all my dogs. You know what I'm saying?
No, free all the man.
Free all the niggas that's locked in. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just having that experience, it was like, you know what? I got to operate at a certain level where I could keep myself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Being new to the city and understanding the level of how the authorities deal with the community.
Yeah.
Was different than coming from Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I had to put my thinking hat on and operate smart and project that to my guys. You know what I'm saying? Because our biggest goal is just to stay out of there.
Yeah.
Our biggest goal is to get rich, take care of yourself, take care of your families, stay out of jail. You know what I'm saying?
Straight.
And And whatever I can do to kind of like steer guys in the right direction and keep them out of those situations, I feel like I'm accomplishing something as the years go by.
You know what I mean? One thing I always wonder, and let me, when y'all gentlemen pass me a bottle of water here, just so we make sure that, that Harv got some water, because we're going in. Yeah. With Ottawa, right? I always wonder with people who I, thank you, who I speak to from Ottawa, right? The Montreal connection. Because Montreal's just an hour away, right? And I know there's like...
Shout out to my Zoes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Did you have like some trips into the MTL and like some, do you have some MTL stories?
Well, I'll be clear, right? When you're in Ottawa, your first stop is Montreal before you even get to Toronto.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a fact.
Yeah. And I'm a Montrealer, so I know about Ottawa. I'm like, I used to live in Montreal before here.
Get out of here. Okay, yeah, cool. I didn't know. Okay,
I lived
cool.
a long time. I lived into my 20s before I moved here.
Okay, okay.
So I'm a Montrealer. I'm from Barbados originally.
Okay. Right?
All right. But I know about the Ottawa connection, like just back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, so Montreal's like, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours away from Ottawa, depending on how you drive. And it was always that city closest to the city. Most of my crew growing up were actually Haitians.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my nigga Love. Shout out to Tyson Ty. These are my guys that kind of like, although I never spoke Creole, I ain't really know much of French.
Yeah.
But the energy in the room when the guys are speaking, I know if it's a good time or if it's a bad time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And these niggas kept me safe my whole life. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to them niggas. But yeah, Montreal was a city. So basically, Ottawa is your first stop. Montreal is your second stop where you see like life is a little bigger than Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
But it really had to like, you had to come to Toronto to really see what it was.
Yeah.
And my Montreal guys ended up in Toronto too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To see your real first bag.
Yeah.
When you thought like, when you thought you had a bag and you come to Toronto, you're like, oh shit, I gotta hustle hard.
There's the bag.
Yeah. And you thought like you had a bad bitch and you had to come to, all right, cool. I gotta go harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Toronto is that city, that defining city.
Yeah.
So now I'm out here and a lot of my guys are Ottawa guys and Montreal guys.
Yeah.
To be honest, like most of my team, they came to the city and found their way.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Some of my guys are from the city, but most of my guys, they came to the city. And we kind of like, and with that said, I mean, the positive thing was we weren't like tied to any neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We weren't tied to any certain codes or certain artists or certain, you know what I'm saying? Like we came here and we stood on D&D.
You know what I'm saying?
So there was kind of like an opportunity to like, no, I fuck with any artist. Mm-hmm. I don't represent any particular side.
Yeah.
I'm not part of any of the politics or any of the beefs and shit. Nigga, I show love.
Mm-hmm.
I move with love first. We militant. You look behind me. We got the military behind me.
Yeah.
But I'm in the front with love. I hug the gangsters, the murderers, the killers, literally.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I look these niggas in the eye and I show love and I try to, in that moment that I connect with niggas, I try to show like, I try to project some type of positivity.
Yeah.
Some type of like, you know, we can get out of this or we can find positivity in life and take care of our families and find opportunities and find God. I'm being dead ass honest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Ask the street niggas about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of guy that I am.
Yeah.
But behind me, obviously, the guys got to be, they're riders.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? I make sure my soldiers are straight. And the same way, the same path that I'm chasing the millions, I want to make sure everybody that fucks with me chasing the millions too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whether it takes a year, whether it takes 10 years. But as long as our eyes are on the prize, everybody's goals are on equity, business, financial freedom, success, travel the fucking world, take care of yourself, your kids, and your girl. That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just try to preach that and project that and try to get that from anybody. My team first, my family first, anybody that kind of like connects with me, whatever I can do to try to make sure that their life is better, that's who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that's real talk, fam.
Absolutely.
And even like before everything into the music and all that, right?
Yeah.
growing up in Ottawa,
yes.
right? Single parent household.
Absolutely.
Like, was it just you and Mom Dukes, or did you have like a bunch of siblings in there?
So basically, it was me, my mom, and my older brother, mm-hmm. Dia. So, I mean, he is a great role model because mm-hmm. I never had one, to tell you the truth. Like, as I said, I never knew any black fathers.
Yeah.
There were really no, in my community, any black men to look up to besides my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was family, you know, my uncle, my cousin.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to them. You know what I'm saying? But my brother, he walked a straight line. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He never broke no laws or took no unnecessary chances. And I always wondered where I got it from.
Yeah.
My mother was like, you know, church woman.
Yeah.
Good. Worked for the government. Did her thing. You know, growing up in life, as I heard stories about my father, I had to say, maybe I got it from that side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I was somebody that I wasn't forced to hustle, but I chose to. From like the age of like 13, I was like, I don't want to ask my mother for nothing no more. I want to give her. You know what I'm saying? And at 13, your mind, you're a fucking baby.
Yeah.
I'm fucking stealing from cars and like doing dumb shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to bring something back home so I can make sure my mom is good. You know, I'm in middle school, grade 7. We selling weed. We selling motherfucking parsley. I'm not going to lie. We rolling this shit up. We selling to the... We just kids. Like I said, we had no OGs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just freestyling. Like, all right, what's my next move?
Yeah.
Until I was into my later teens, 16, 17s, I was like, all right, cool. Let me figure out the streets. But like as a kid, like we was always starting little crews, little gangs and shit from elementary school to middle school. But now looking back, I always had that leadership quality, but maybe I didn't know exactly where to lead people to in those days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. You're trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, Ottawa definitely was a good place that taught me, like I said, certain qualities, certain skills, showed me my first 100,000. But didn't show me where to spend it.
Yeah.
There wasn't investing out there. There wasn't properties at that time. Now there is, but at that time, there wasn't properties. There wasn't big cars. There wasn't stocks. There was nobody to kind of lead you in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I was a nigga with a duffel bag of money. And I was like, all right. I just kind of like lost in the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the good and the bad kind of led me to where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty, learning loyalty, that people will ride for you as long as you take care of your people. And learning about betrayal, because that's a huge part of my learning experiences in life was based on betrayal.
Yeah.
So I feel like learning the good and the bad, when I got to the city, I was like, all right, cool. I know what to look out for and I know what to build on.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about snakes. I learned about niggas that will capitalize on your gains and not bring anything to the table. Not even put an attempt. I mean, I appreciate effort. It's not about money. A nigga, a bitch ain't got to bring money to me for me to appreciate them. Bring that effort. Bring that energy. Bring just that loyalty. Just ask,
yo, kind of offer something.
That's it. It's just energy. If you see the dogs that I roll with today, my niggas, it's the energy, it's the love. You see me with my guys, you're like, yo, Harv's around a team that's family.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the energy that I build on and that I hold on to.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to make it, but the niggas that do, I promise, it might take, like I said, it might take a year. You got that hustle in your blood. It may take 5 years if you got some business in your blood. It might take 10 years if you never got it. But once you get it, once you get it, you're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have your properties. You'll have your business in point. You're going to have your team, your social network, whatever it is that's around you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I stand for, to make sure that I'm good and my guys are good.
Yeah.
When I want to hop on private jets, I want to say, hey, everybody could put up. When you want to take trips to Dubai, everybody could put up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If now is the time I got to take care of my guys, that's cool. I'll hustle harder, make sure everybody's good. But at some point, everybody going to put up.
Yeah.
We all going to be good. Take care of our families. Take care of our kids. Take care of our parents. You know what I'm saying? That's what I stand for.
No, that's real. That's real talk. And that's, you know, solid stuff to stand for. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And even like, as you were getting into music, right?
Yeah.
Like you have musical influences like Bob Marley, Philharmonics, you know,
Al Green, Temptations,
and the Temptations,
Sam Cooke.
And then you got the regular, the Biggie, the Pac,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying, Jay-Z,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, Lil Wayne. Yeah.
You were a Wayne fan too, eh?
I'm not going to lie. Wayne.
Like Hot Boys Wayne or like Carter Wayne?
Carter Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Carter Wayne.
So
real lyrical Wayne.
In between all of that like landscape of music that you're listening to, when is it that you decide, you know what? All right. I'm gonna get into the booth and start doing this shit myself. Fuck this shit.
So to tell you the truth, like I've been doing music ever since I could do music.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to have partners I rap with and they had a karaoke machine when we was like 11, 12 years old. Like we was kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we was listening to like P. Diddy and Mace. Like that's the shit that set me off. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Like P. Diddy and Mace, that's my first shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, shit.
All right. Being around the world.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
That's the shit that set me off. So we was doing talent shows, dressing alike, trying to look flashy as possible. And that's the shit that really, like, you know, I found the hunger for the music.
Yeah.
The thing is, in those days, you drop some music, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to be signed by next year.
Mm-hmm.
You just think it. The world wasn't as connected.
There wasn't
as much information in those days. You're like, I'm nice.
Yeah.
Everybody recognizes me for being nice. Next year, I'm on. I'm buying a house for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking 14. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, once they hear this demo, I'm out of here.
That's it. That was the vibe. I'm going to New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking them trips on my little CDs and shit I'm handing out. But yeah, I mean, like, from young, like, I've always loved the music. I've always had a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you evolve in life, and don't get me wrong, on one hand, you get the recognition from the music. There's a lot of people I touch that be like, hey, I'm doing this in life because your music touched me or you coached me through this in life. And sometimes you don't even realize you're doing that. You're just spitting your truth. You just giving them, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I look back and I play my music from 2015, 2016, 2017. I'm like, shit, I was giving these niggas some game.
Yeah. Your music is very gamed up music, bro.
Yeah. But I was just speaking my truth.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about in them days smoking our ops and Ray Tay Tay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And nothing, I'm nothing against what the niggas are doing nowadays, because that's their truth.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, my goals was chasing paper, making sure that I'm on and my team is on the same shit I'm on now.
Yeah.
It wasn't really about like conflict, because I made more money from conflict resolution than conflict. It wasn't butting heads with niggas because war costs money.
That's a fact.
It was playing chess, not checkers with niggas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Stepping out there and being like, this guy can be an enemy. We don't know each other. And I approach niggas with open arms and hugs and with love first.
Yeah.
With the military behind me. And it's like, you can kind of pick and choose what side you want to be on.
Mm-hmm.
But on the love side, you don't lose no pride or recognition, or you're not less of a man. You're a smarter man at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Let's get this money together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Some it costs nothing to show love, fam.
Bruh. So I was that guy, and I feel like in my generation, there's a lot of situations that could have turned into enemies that turn to friends or business friends or acquaintances, but positive energy.
Yeah.
Well, I see a nigga in a club, fuck it, I send him a bottle. He might have not had love for me a year ago, but because of the energy that we exchanged amongst each other, I sent him fucking a bottle. He sent me a bottle back.
Yeah.
And we exchange love like some fucking old school players. You good? I'm good, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? You get money. Of course I'm getting money too, my nigga.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we and I feel like that old school energy is lost nowadays. Where it's just like, it's just, you know what I'm saying? People are brewing on the negativity. And I get it. If you lost people that you love, people close to you, it's hard to like, to turn the hate off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I get it. I'm not criticizing it, but it's just, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that we could build off the love first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, most definitely. Most definitely. And even like, when you came down here in like in 09 and stuff like that, right? I know with my own story, like as coming out of Montreal, there was, and when I was rapping at the times, it was a struggle to like get that acceptance into the Toronto scene.
Yeah.
Did you experience some of that? Like, you know, like breaking through, getting through on the Toronto radio, like.
I mean, I'll be honest, as far as the scene is concerned, see, times has changed right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the culture of rappers right now are actually about what they stand on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of street niggas, a lot of gangsters in the music.
Yeah.
Niggas with money, niggas with jewelry, niggas that are actually busting their thing. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like the era that I'm from, you know, it's after the Cardinal, Choclair era, which was so important for the foundation of the culture to say like, we can stand behind Canadian artists.
Yeah.
I feel like it was that then. I feel like my time was more of the, there are Canadian artists that are actually about what they stand on.
Mm.
There's some hustlers out there. There's some niggas that could spend some money, pop up in big furs and Rolls Royces and shit like that, which was different from the era before me. Not saying they weren't getting money, but it was a different, you know, it was like, you know, it was the era of much music, much vibe, which I loved. I'm not going to say like I didn't appreciate that those times.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like guys in the industry that were strictly chasing a record deal.
Yeah.
No street money. My era was the mix.
Yeah.
Of like there's street money and there's record deals.
Yeah.
I feel like these times right now, it's street money first.
Mm-hmm.
And they go pop up in this music video with 100,000 in a fucking headlock.
Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah.
In my times, niggas didn't have money. I was popping up in the clubs and I was getting bottles for everybody.
Mm.
I felt like I was the exception to the rule. I was from Ottawa.
Yeah.
So I was spending money and niggas was showing love. I was like, okay, cool. And I wasn't feeling no way about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, because that's how I do. I'm not getting money just for myself. I get money for myself, my team, my family, for investments, for everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not just for me. I hustle hard to make sure we all can enjoy this shit. But I remember during those times, now we go to 2012, 2013, 2014, niggas didn't really have it like they was rapping about it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So now, fast forward to these times, I see these young street niggas, they got it. But they also got, that's a positive, but they also got a lot of negative issues in the streets.
And they're way more open about like the super negative ways to get it. You know what I'm saying? Like so, they're like so, straight out.
So in 2015, 2016, 17 and shit, you could, every time you drop a music video, we was throwing a release party. You outside. We's outside for real.
Yeah.
We outside. I'm at Time Nightclub. Wherever we gotta go, we bring artists to town. We fly to Vixens with the full force touching our feet. Like we loud. We really outside.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where I feel like some of our most talented or impacting artists during these times, I don't say they can't be outside. I don't say that, but they're not outside like that because the times are different.
Yeah.
You don't move as freely. You gotta, not that we wasn't moving militant. Like I said, we was militant with love.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, the young niggas, they gotta be militant with like a certain energy, like ready to go. Like it could happen at any moment.
It's an on-site thing now.
It's an on-site.
Yeah.
Well, that's, to this day, I ain't got no enemies.
No, but even like, it explains a lot, like, when I first started seeing you on the music scene, it was always like doing it big.
Yeah.
And this city has like a, you know, we'll keep people at bay at a certain point until we're like, okay, he's real with it. You know what I'm saying? And then they accept this rappers in.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you came through doing it big,
yeah,
people just accepted you right away.
Yeah. The thing is, like I didn't show up looking for acceptance. I was like, this is me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Harv, I'm D&D. I'm fucking, I show up with fucking 40 Asians and we on our shit. We got some bad bitches with us. We all in furs.
Yeah, like the legend was already starting to travel.
Yeah, I was like, we showing love. I showed up in the city. I had the CLS 63 Benz. Mm. Like, I was like, I'm that guy, but I show love.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like I'm no cocky. I feel like my first interviews that I used to do, niggas would think I would show up on some arrogant shit and like be like, ah, whatever. But I show up, I show love. Like, listen, if you could get it too, listen, I'll show you a way to it.
Yeah.
My resources could be your resources. Ask, just ask. These are my plugs. These are my realtors. These are my brokers. These are my my car plugs. These are my insurance plugs. Like, if I can see more millionaires in our community, if I can see more people shining and being motivated from what they can achieve in the streets rather than just money under a mattress or a duffel bag. You know what I'm saying? I've seen busts that happen in the city where niggas had so much potential. Niggas had millions of dollars. And sometimes I question myself, did y'all ever invest it? Y'all ever get cribs for your family? Did y'all ever get, you know what I'm saying? Do you ever take the step to evolve into the next step of life? Because a white man is not just respecting money in a mattress.
Yeah.
If you ain't got no equity, no credit score, no stocks, no bonds, no nothing.
Yeah.
How are we going to evolve? The truth is, you got 100,000 or 500,000, whatever you have, and you don't invest it, as the economy is evolving, things are becoming more expensive, properties and everything is that nature, your money, the actual value of your money is going down. You know what I'm saying? Like, as you're not investing your money, the value of your money is going down. So you had 100 today, and you might say, cool, that's 20% on a $500,000 property, and you sleep and wake up, and that property's worth $1 million, that's no longer 20% down.
Yeah.
Now you got to go scratch another 100,000 just to get the same motherfucking property.
Yeah.
The same house, two-car garage with four bedrooms.
When you could have invested
before. You could have invested it. I invested. When I came, I got in the city. I took my first condo or two. I figured out how I'm going to get my money. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to invest right away.
Mm.
I jumped into it right away. So by the time they said, hey, the market is up, shit, I was up $500,000.
Nice.
I was up on my first property. My first property. All I did was pay fucking mortgage, which is like rent. I was paying $1,850. Nowadays, you pay $2,500 for a condo downtown.
Yeah.
I was paying $1,850 for a four-bedroom house in the suburbs.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So cool. I jumped in my first shit. Cool. I jumped in my second shit. Nigga, and I haven't stopped.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I try to show my guys that it's not a secret. I'm not hidden. I speak on it. Like, you need a plug, you need a realtor, you need a broker, you need someone to get you a mortgage, you need a co-sign, you, whatever you need. I try to show my guys there's ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it now, it will be harder in the future.
Yeah.
We could never imagined 10 years ago, $1 million, $1.2, $1.3 million townhouses. That shit sounds insane.
Yeah.
Now it's regular. It's regular. You want to go into the suburbs and get a townhouse? Some of these niggas will tell you $1.5 million for a townhouse.
That's crazy.
To start?
That's not even a mansion and nothing like that. Not even a mini mansion.
Bro, 1.5, you would imagine you have 5,000 square feet, an acre plus of land, a pool, some fly shit.
Yeah.
When you're young, you think that's retirement money. Now they're saying that's get your feet wet money.
Yeah.
Get your parents to invest in you money. Get your start money. Right. So I try and don't get me wrong. On your path to success, you'll find a little opportunities where they say, cool, put a 5% down. This is a little thing, whatever. All right, cool. Let me put my guys on right away. Mm-hmm. Here's an opportunity. You don't got to put 400,000 down. You don't got to put $250,000 down.
Yeah.
You could put 50 now and put 5,000 a month until you're ready. But that, as tough as it might be for you, for now, it changed your life forever.
Because
the next thing you want to jump into, now you got a $500,000 in equity.
Yeah.
Now they want $350 down. You say, cool, that's light. I'll write you a check.
Yeah.
I still got a $150 I could enjoy, invest in something else, buy my wife a ring, go take a trip for the family, get an investment home somewhere abroad. You could do something different, but you got to jump in at some point. The later you wait to jump in, the shit just keep getting harder and harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like, that's a mentality that I want to have for my guys.
Yeah. So even with the, as you started getting into, like, getting serious with the music.
Yeah.
You started popping up with a lot of people early in the game.
Yeah, right? Most definitely.
Can we go through some of these features?
Yeah.
Right? So I want to start, I'm going to go forward a little bit, and then we're going to go back.
Yeah.
Right? You had the Yours to Discover album.
Yeah.
Right? And on that, like the song that we were even playing in the intro with Max B and French Montana.
Yeah.
That was one of the earlier ones.
Yes.
How did you link up that one first of all, that collabo?
So first things first, shout out to my guy JP.
Mm-hmm.
He's businessman from New York, booking agent, and he connects with a lot of artists. So basically, he'll be on tour with a lot of different artists. And he connect me with certain guys, fly me out to the States. And we would build a relationship, like a genuine relationship with a lot of artists.
Yeah.
So we bring it back to Max B before he got locked up. He made that happen. You know, shout out to the Wave God. You know what I'm saying? Free the Max, big of Val.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was actually the first joint that I ever did as a solo artist. To be honest, I was in a group in those days called Deuce Deuce. And when Max B jumped on the record, he said, Big of L, Deuce Deuce. Like, it was actually like, it was still a Deuce Deuce record.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a certain point in life for me to be like, you know, like, is the loyalty real or is it not? And it wasn't. So I think I just took it for myself. I paid for it myself. So
yeah.
It was mine. You know what I'm saying? So it was the first record I ever did paid. Power always includes dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a dope record. So we brought it back, actually, fucking with French. Throughout the years, we fucked with French.
Yeah.
And I feel like he jumped on maybe paid part two. I think he did paid part two. And, you know, once again, another thing from JP, you know, he would connect us with certain artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like during those times, you know, bringing it back to like speaking of the different generations of artists, I feel like we made it clear that it was like it was a normal thing to fuck with artists from the States.
Yeah.
Where prior to our times, it wasn't really like niggas wasn't really doing features, going out to Miami, going out to New York, fucking with artists. Like, niggas, we fucking with Kiss in New York. We was in the trenches. We was on them yachts. We was doing some fly shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? We was in the Heights with all the Dominicans and shit. Like, we wasn't really seeing that before our times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it was just me, but it was our times.
No, there was like those times where people were starting to do features. Chinx Drugs was on a feature with Why is the name slipping my mind? But it was people who were
It was that era of like merging the cultures, what we're doing out here and showing it's up to par with what's going on in the States, you know? And, you know, them times like we was going crazy with features. I do still feel like it was a little bit before the times of like the masses understanding and accepting it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if we didn't lay the foundation, I'm not saying we were the original foundation. The original foundation, we go back to fucking Socrates and Cardinal, all them guys.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have this path, this evolution of Canadian artists, where would we be now?
Yeah. Well, actually, we also have to keep in mind that with all due respect to those artists,
yeah,
a lot of them had to go through record deals to make those things happen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where the generation that you represent, everybody was independent and getting their features on their own.
For sure. Now, I feel like,
for the most part.
Most definitely. I feel like the barriers of entry have changed over the years, right?
Mm.
So, like you said, prior to, you had to have a record deal or you're never going to be heard, period.
Yeah.
Our times was like the transition where it was like the much music, much vibe transitioning into the YouTube and the fucking Spotify. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
we still had CDs in the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? While you got adults born in 2001, They're like, I heard y'all used to have CDs in cars. I'm like, motherfucker.
And even in the interview that I, when I'm doing my research, you're talking about like your 100,000 downloads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is still in this time when digital was still starting, was just becoming a thing. Yeah. People were just starting to download now, 100,000, stuff on that's iTunes. Regular.
You got to do millions plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so. But don't get me wrong. During those times, if your shit wasn't playing on Much Music, Much Vibe, and Flow, the original Flow.
I remember
that. Like, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there were barriers to entry. If you were an independent artist, you had to spend some coin to get on the original Flow, get the radio marketer, or whatever they call themselves in them times. You know what I'm saying? So, the fact is, like, there was only a small group of us that was actually getting recognized on certain platforms, where we might not even have seen the importance of the streaming world, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
My shit is like, you pull up on my crib, I put the big screen on, I put on Much Vibe or Much Music, my shit gonna play 10 times today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chilling. Like, I'm that nigga.
Yeah.
My shit gonna play. I'm not searching it. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just gonna play. But I feel like I was part of the end of that generation
when
TV counted, MTV, BET, Much Music to play shit. There's a transition into streaming where we might not have realized how important it was going to be, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that shit was the most popping in the city, but the streams wasn't going crazy because we was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't pay no attention. We pay no mind to YouTube views on Grey Goose Diet or Hallelujah records with Tory Lanez or you know what I'm saying? We wasn't paying no mind to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it's all an evolution, right? So I feel like it's important that our time existed, that we connect with a lot of artists from the States. Everybody. We connect with everybody in the States.
Everybody, fam. Even before you get to the States stuff.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Grey Goose Diet.
Yeah.
Which was actually like a Charlie B record back in the days on a mixtape. With you and Tory Lanez linked up in the studio at that time.
I'll be honest. That was a record with me and Tory.
Okay.
Right? Like, that was a Tory, my guy. We connected maybe like a Caravana weekend.
And he wasn't popping yet.
He wasn't popping, but he was talented.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. Right. So, Tory hit me up, said, let's get some work in.
Mm-hmm.
We connected in the studio, dropped a crazy record. And I think we're looking for an outlet. How are we going to get this record out to do the numbers that it needs to do?
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, Charlie B was connected in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the outlet, but it was our record. But I felt, especially newer in those times, letting this come out through somebody's platform that is integrated in the city is going to do better for all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we ran with that in those days. You know, I used to bring the community to our video shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was out, all the artists, all the promoters, all the producers, everybody was out there.
Yeah.
Where I don't feel like that is a thing that happens anymore. People don't trust addresses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we was really outside. We had the Bentleys back to back. We was doing our thing. And, you know, I've spoken on it before, but it is a moment that I'm proud of because it was, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it was Tory's first time on television, on a platform that was bigger than what he had been on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was dope. It wasn't like some regular shit. Nigga, we was going hard. Grey Goose Diet was for the culture. If Grey Goose Diet dropped today, that shit would have millions of views on YouTube.
And let's also, just so that the youngins understand, like, this is pre-Sean Kingston time even, I think.
I think he had just started linking with him
around those times.
Yeah.
You know what
absolutely.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're talking about, like, a undiscovered Tory Lanez point, fam.
Yeah, most
you
definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and by the way, I just got to jump in. Free Tory, by the way, man. Free Tory, by the way. Tory, I appreciate you and everything you bring to the game. and get out the motherfucking bars, my nigga, because that shit ain't no place for a nigga like yourself or anybody to live.
Fuck, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So free Tory, by the way. That's a whole nother conversation. But yeah. I gotta stand on that. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, and even like just the sidetrack for a quick second. Like, yeah. What's your thoughts on this situation? Like with this?
I mean,
not going through the whole situation, yeah, but just like at the results now, man.
I feel that personally, from how the evidence has played itself, that there was another female involved and she may be the person that is the person responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to stand on that. I don't want to see anybody in jail, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like he's fully responsible for what they're holding him responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel even beyond that, I feel as a community, we can't encourage the incarceration of our people. There's a line that Nipsey said, and he was like, I wonder what people go through to basically, he was saying like, to stand on like giving ourselves to the people that hate us.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like when you a rat, it's like this is modern day slavery. This is modern day. These are the people that before enslaved us publicly. Now you could do it privately, but it's the same people. And you stand on that, you trying to lock another black man. Give that nigga ass whooping if he deserved it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Make the style. You connected with the mob in fucking Houston. You know what I'm saying? Let them feel it, recover, and be that guy again. But you going to the feds. Like, I can't stand on that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I can't, you know what I'm saying? Regardless if he was right or if he's wrong, we can't encourage incarceration of our people because the truth is, the unfortunate truth is, a lot of us have been, especially in the States, but a lot of us have been, our upbringing has put us in a situation where the unfortunate truth is that breaking the law has been able to provide us with opportunities to feed our family.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do if now that becomes a norm of the rat and the telling where we're incarcerating people that are, you know, because sometimes there's a motive behind it that is righteous.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're avenging. Somebody killed your brother and you're writing for your brother because the police are not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's a righteous motive behind it, and we have to find our justice in the streets. And I stand behind that. I don't stand behind like, you know what I'm saying? Like reckless killings and all that shit. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But either way, it's not to give ourselves to who, you know what I'm saying? The modern day slave owners, these motherfucking, the feds and the powers that be, you know what I'm saying? So for Meg to stand on that, like, oh, this thing gonna go to jail. Nah, man, that's not what I stand for. I'm not about no 6ix9ine shit. Whoever's turning on Big Slime, like I'm not about none of that fed shit. If you're part of something, ride for what you're part of, or don't ever be part of it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And free Tory, you know. Hopefully, the judge, you know, at this point, I'm not sure when you put out this interview, but at this point, the judge hasn't passed.
By the 23rd, this interview will be out before the 23rd.
Okay,
when his appeal is going on, so. Okay. Yeah, man.
Let's hope. You know what I'm saying? We pray and we hope for positivity. You know, I spoke to a couple guys from the camp. Shout out Jay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I just hope everybody is holding strong and doing whatever they got to do to make sure that, you know, he gets the best possible situation. But, you know, as a man, you're going to be strong, hold his head, do what he's got to do. And, you know what I'm saying? Just keep rocking. It's not the end.
No, hold your head, Tory.
Mm-hmm.
And even to like to circle back to like the features, right?
Yeah.
Because to me, fam, like I feel like you probably have the most features out of all of the Canadian artists. It's between you and Peter Jackson.
Okay.
For the most features.
Shout out Peter Jackson.
I'm gonna have to go and do like a count one day and maybe do a YouTube live and have like a battle between the two of y'all just the features.
Yeah.
You had and staying on Canadian features for a second.
Yeah, let's go.
You had an early Nav verse from back in the day, fam.
Yeah.
No, he did the hook on that tune.
Yeah.
That tune was fire.
When I was fucking with Nav, and shout out to Nav, by the way.
Yeah.
When I was fucking with Nav, it was pre-discovered Nav.
Yes.
But equally as talented, if not even more.
He was floating on that hook.
He was stupid nice in those days. Not to say he's not anymore, but he was nice. So Nav was producing and doing the hooks. And I remember at one time, like, being in the studio and having that conversation with my guys, like, yo, we should sign this kid.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, because I always got to be real with myself, we might not have had the platform or the connections to put him in the place where he needed to be.
Yeah.
And he found the home that he needed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knock him for that. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to work together in them early stages.
Early.
Where he sent me records back and forth. Should I change these words, or should I change these instruments and instruments? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that was crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga, pop up on my birthday solo dolo. Like,
yeah.
That's Nav. Shout out to Nav. That's my guy. You know what I mean? But I did recognize his talent very early in the game, where I feel like he might have been doing hooks as references where somebody would re-record those hooks.
Yeah.
And I heard him. I was like, nigga, you on this record. Like, I don't need to take you off this record.
Yeah.
Your shit is fire. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we did a record. I actually went to Ottawa to shoot the video. So that's why he wasn't in the video. I went to Ottawa to shoot the video back in my neighborhood and shit like that. But you know, it was a privilege, and it's something that I am proud of to say that I was able to work with Nav in his up and coming Tory
Lane.
Same way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Murder Beats.
Yeah.
The same way. Shout out Murder, one of the biggest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To say that I was able to work with these guys, and you know, whether there was something in our opportunity to work together that projected them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Whether there was some influence, whether it was some positivity projected, whatever the case may be, but it's something that I'm proud of to say that I worked with a lot of greats from the city in their early stages in significant ways.
Yeah.
And then to see them reach their levels of success. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an amazing thing to see. We was working with Murder Beats prior to, I mean, this is when he was working with Migos, and this is prior to like certain Drake records and certain things that really like set him off.
That took him on the next level,
But with Murder, it's always been the same love then and now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's always been the same genuine mutual respect. You know what I'm saying? And Murder is, Murder and Corey's his manager, were the ones that connected us with Yo Gotti. And we was rocking with Yo Gotti for years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that connection was very genuine. Gotti them, a lot of things that the people don't know about Gotti is like they travel normally by ground, not by air in those days, especially because they had to keep it with them.
Yeah.
And you couldn't bring it on a flight. They was going state to state.
Yeah.
They had a lot of, and still have, but I'm just talking about in those times, they had a lot of young soldiers that would, you know, literally put it all on the line for them.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty at its finest. Niggas that would lay down their life knowing that Gotti them will take care of their families if it went down like that.
Yeah.
A whole level of, a higher level of loyalty that, you know, it was interesting to experience fucking with those guys. So now Gotti and the camp are coming to Canada. I don't know if it's the first time or the second, third time, but at the time that we was fucking with them.
Yeah.
And it was trying, they was crossing a border with the legal joints.
Mm-hmm.
But the border, for whatever reason, shut it down. So now they're in the city and they're not covered.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically walk around naked. So now Murder, Corey hit me up like, yo, you know, Gotti them in town. You know, it would be a good look to have some solid guys from the city that are respected, have no negative energy towards them, and can, I don't say make sure they're good, like they couldn't be good on their own.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But just, you know what I'm saying? Like, to have some real niggas around them.
Yeah,
that know their way around the city. So we connected with Gotti and them through Murder and Corey. And it was love since then. You know what I'm saying? Positive energy, real militant. They see how my soldiers move. You know what I'm saying? The loyalty that they're on, we're on that same shit too.
Yeah.
Not as cutthroat, you know what I'm saying? But it was love, and we connected like that. So from then, we was going back and forth to the States with Gotti and them, and they returned the same energy. Mm. We go out to Memphis, and it was real cutthroat. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You have killers popping out of fucking dark alleyways and corners with guns as long as fucking seven long as kids. Little
Bow Wow. Bro,
niggas ain't saying hi, but they'll shoot for you.
Yeah.
Ain't no hugs and love. Are you good, my nigga? None of that. But they'll let that shit go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we was in them trenches, like the trenches for real, where... Like, the truth is, like, our lives, like, the value of our lives in Canada, it wasn't the same value out there. We dropped, like, ain't nobody looking for us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was different. Like, we was really in them trenches for real. Look, kids around and shit like that. They're like, yo, they shoot at kids, nigga.
Yeah.
Don't think shit is sweet out here. Like, shit was real. Moving around with Black Youngster, like, Black Youngster was one of the realest, if not the realest industry, nigga. I don't want you to call him an industry nigga. He's a street nigga, but nigga that I met in the industry ever. With it exposed at all times, ready to go. And I'm trying to incriminate no nigga. We talking about.
No, but it's an open carry
I'm just,
state.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Yeah. Like, niggas was ready to go at all times, right? Big jugs of lean, doing 150, like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the love was reciprocated when we was out there. Their other way of taking care of us was a little wild. It was a little crazy, but that's how they take care of their own. You know, so, you know, the privilege to experience that and be safe in that environment where niggas are right for you, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially in a city like Memphis, man. I'm
telling you. We was in Memphis. Yeah. We was in Miami. We was in Atlanta. You know, I lived in the States for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we was moving state to state and just fucking with, you know, whatever real niggas were out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's different to experience. This is like pre-Trump. And then Trump came into power and you felt, I was in Florida when Trump came into power and you felt the energy in the air. And it's something like, I'm not talking about social media. I'm not talking about what you say on YouTube. I'm talking about when you feel it, when the police pull you over and you're in a fucking white Rolls Royce with Ontario plates. Jeez. And the way they treat you.
You're from Canada, eh?
Nigga. The vibe, the energy where you're like, fuck, I might not make it home.
Yeah.
The energy out there, I'm telling you, like, it's something like I can't put into words, but the hostility, the way those fucking Confederate flags raised in 2020.
Bear MAGA hat started popping up.
When, or was it 2016?
Yeah,
the 2016 when them fucking, when them flags raised and the patriotism that was racist, that was representing what their grandfathers got rich from.
Yeah.
It was different. Florida is a different kind of state. We're not talking about just Miami. We're talking about Florida.
So let me ask you.
Yeah, talk.
Because you, 2016, around that time.
Yeah.
You got a Soulja Boy feature around that time.
Yeah, definitely.
How did that come to pass?
That, once again, to my man JP. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, I'm sure, like, so we had connected with CMG. We was working on a D&D CMG deal. Trying to make sure everything lined up. We was working with Snooty Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? And we was working with Gotti. We was working with different artists from the States. We was in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to work on that record with Soulja Boy. He sent us a couple different versions of the record. I was like, I just want some like genuine Soulja Boy shit. Like,
and he made the beat.
Make it simple and raw as possible.
Yeah.
He gave us what we were looking for. And... you know, at a certain point, we were supposed to shoot that video, like we were supposed to shoot the video with Gotti. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, shit got a little hot in during those times.
Yeah.
And I had to take a step back.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I tried to take a step back where I was like, you know, being in the States, I was in the States for like, let's say a year or two, 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we was actually with Gotti's brother on New Year's. The other day, and he was like, yo, what's up with the music? Like, you ain't dropping no shit, what's going on?
Yeah.
And this is the same thing I had to tell him the other day. It's like, you know, during those times, like, I probably spent like 200 US in the States over that time, marketing music. We was in the strip clubs every day. We was in the clubs every day. We connected with the artists, the record promoters, and shit was going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, 2016, 2017, if you know the history of real estate in Toronto, shit was booming too. Right? So during those times, let's say end of 2015, 2016, I picked up a property. And let's say the property was like 600,000. I put 100 down. I go to the States, I'm working on music. I spent 200. You know, you get money from streams. We get booked for shows, things of that nature. But now I come home, the property is worth 1.2. That nigga doubled.
Wow.
It doubled. And that's one. That's my second property.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The first property doubled too.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I'm chasing a passion in the States. Something I feel like I was born to do. But maybe the level of like, hey, I got my own. I never had somebody invest in me.
Mm-hmm.
I never really had management unless it was my guys in the streets. I was like, all right, cool. I play that role.
Yeah.
But the independence was a gift and a curse because nobody ever jumped in to be like, all right, let me show you how to turn this into something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as far as the investments were concerned, that shit was guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
I was doubling every time. So when I was talking with Gotti Brother, he's like, you know, what's up with the music? And I was like, it was guaranteed back home. Where on the road, you taking all them chances,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't guaranteed. So what you gonna do? I didn't sign up for this shit to be famous. The truth is, the version of famous that we experience now, it didn't even exist in our time. There was no social media.
Yeah.
So I didn't want likes. You know what I'm saying? Views? That shit didn't exist.
You wanted the money.
Nigga, I'm a fucking hustler first. So you tell me I could spend this in music and have motherfuckers, you know, cheering at my shows and commenting on my shit and liking my shit and make X amount. Or I could be private and invest this shit and see 10 times or 5 times or 6 times the amount. Nigga, what you think I'm going to do with it?
Yeah.
And it's legitimate. It's legit. I could put people on, show people how to get it. I could buy my mom a house.
Mm.
I could stand on my investment. I could live in my investments. What do you think I'm going to do? No one showed me the way. I wish somebody did because I would have done double what I did.
Yeah.
If I knew in 2012, when it was easy to get a crib, when houses were like 400,000 and you had to put down 5%.
Man, you would have tripled. Nigga. Tripled. That would have been crazy.
When there was no stress test, when the interest rates weren't crazy through the roof.
Yeah.
If somebody would have put me on, nigga, we would have all been rich.
So basically, mm-hmm. you found a more stable source of income, a stable hustle. Why the fuck take all these risks with the music shit?
So basically, as far as the streets are concerned, and I won't get into it, right? Because it's not Vlad TV. You know what I'm saying? But
no, we ain't doing that.
As far as the streets are concerned, when I went to the States, my street operations, because of my lack of presence, because I left for a year plus, my street operations diminished to 50%.
Mm.
Because you can't be hands-on, delegating your soldiers, doing everything you got to do.
Yeah.
But my business investments that came from legitimate sources of income, everything was, I made sure everything was legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you backtrack my shit, it was straight from day one.
Yeah.
Them shits were double, triple, times 10.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it teaching? Now I come home, I'm like, fuck, what I got to pay more attention to? What I got to put more energy into.
Yeah.
The street shit. You wake up a morning. It could be a bad morning. All that shit gone.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say it's a McDonald's restaurant. Every business venture I got is a McDonald's restaurant. You wake up, you lose a McDonald's restaurant. Whatever you expected to make from a McDonald's restaurant in a year, you lose that shit.
Yeah.
Off of a bad conversation or a bad meeting.
It's a wrong judgment.
Just something. Yeah. Just some negativity. You lose all that shit in a moment.
Yeah.
The hostility in the streets is crazy. Where in a corporate world, whether you got stocks, whether you got real estate, whether you got investments, whether you got legitimate businesses, it's the platform that you're playing on. It's, you know what I'm saying? You jump into the shit from a hustler point of view.
Mm-hmm.
My realtor told me, I never looked up the study, but he had said there was a university study once that said like hustlers, specifically, whether it was dope dealers or pimps or whatever it is that are in the streets, their level of expertise when it comes to like delegating responsibilities, having soldiers that are responsible for their responsibilities, mm-hmm. You know, their level of expertise in the industry. If you apply that to Fortune 500 companies, you'd be more than rich.
Yeah.
Look at Big Meech, right? I don't know if you've seen a documentary, but look at Big Meech. The fact is, y'all was making billions. Free Big Meech, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not that I know him, but Free Big Meech, by the way, street legend. And y'all was pushing a product that's going to sell like that, but in reality, now that we look at the big picture, y'all was selling the wrong product. What if y'all was selling bottled waters? I know it sounds crazy, but what if y'all was selling, look at 50 Cent, what if y'all was selling vitamin water?
Yeah, yeah.
What if y'all was selling stocks? What if y'all was selling real estate? The way that you're able to get your soldiers online, the way you're able to brew that loyalty, that community, that energy amongst people that all have the same goals in mind, you apply that to many different things in the world, you can get the same you could get the same money back, you could get the same resources, you could get the same opportunities built from it, but just find different ways to get it.
Yeah.
Than selling dope. You showing up to every dope meeting and nigga, you don't know if the nigga want to take your fucking head off.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
You showing up every fucking exchange and the nigga might be your last day.
No, it could be spooky out there. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
About a legendary moment that I heard about in a few interviews.
Yeah.
The Mario Tour.
Yes.
Louis bag. Giveaway.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Can you retell that story on the We Love Hip Hop podcast?
Please? I mean, so
for the new generation that have not heard this legendary story.
So back in the day, now when it was a very important thing to be able to tour with American artists when they came to the country, and hopefully it would transpire to going to the States with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did tours with Mario, Wale, Lloyd, Meek Mill, Jeezy, a lot of popping artists. But anyway, so one thing that we would do when we was doing those tours was we give back, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whether it's to the community, whether it's to some bad bitches, to whatever. I mean, we get money. We trying to give back. And you know what I'm saying? Things in them days weren't even going viral. We weren't doing it for a moment on Instagram or something like that.
There was no gram like that.
There was nothing. Yeah. We was just doing it because the streets would talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So one thing we was doing on tour was we was giving a Louis bag away at every stop.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? For the most lit female or crew of females. You know what I'm saying? Another thing, we was throwing money out in the crowd. We was doing a lot of things. You know what I'm saying?
Christ.
But, I mean, it was, you know, it's building positive energies. It's always dope to give back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've learned since then to give back to more needy. I don't say needy in a negative way, but like to causes that are in more of need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whether it's single mothers, whether it's Christmas, whether it's kids that are in situations that need their backpacks filled before going to school,
mm-hmm.
whether it's turkeys on Thanksgiving, whether, you know, every year we make sure that we give back to the communities. You know what I'm saying? In those times, it might have been a little more fly and a little more for the cause and for the culture and for the camera.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we really tap in and we really help out every year.
Yeah.
And I stand on that. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're privileged enough that, you know, God gave you opportunity to get bread, however you got to get it, you know what I'm saying? Touch your people, make sure your people are good, touch communities that haven't got that opportunities, because that $100 to you might feel like $1,000 to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That $1,000 to you might feel like $100,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really got to give back and take care of your peoples out there in society. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's real talk right there.
For sure.
And you know, moving into the times like now, as you evolved in the real estate and to different businesses.
Yeah.
One thing when I didn't know, when you pop back up on my radar, is with Her Nightclub.
Yeah, definitely.
Fam, salute to Basmati Binga. Hey. You know what I'm saying? He was like, yo, fam, I'm there all the time. Yeah. Harvey Stripes owned it. And this was on air.
Yeah.
And I fucking freaked out. I was like, what? Get out of it. You saw the clip, right? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I was like, no way. And I was so happy to know that, like, you're in the city doing your thing, fam. So like, tell us about having fam.
So basically, you know, like I said, I was in the States for a little while, a couple of years.
Mm.
And opposed from you know, hustling, trying to find my way out there. I studied the culture. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm somebody, I went to university. I take information that comes to me and I find a way to apply it, or, you know what I'm saying? Apply it to my life and figure certain things out. So as you see a nigga like me, I'm in the strip clubs building. In the States, basically, you build your records in the strip clubs first.
Yes.
Right? So I'm spending a lot of time in strip clubs, but I'm also studying the culture, seeing how money is spent, seeing how, you know, bottles, and seeing how clubs are run and certain influence. So anyway, I get back to town. Now, fast forward, it's 2019. Once again, like, I don't want to stand on her as it was a solo thing. I'm nothing without my partners. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to Naveen. He's a legend in the game. He's had many strip clubs. Shout out to Tony. Tony is the owner of Cabana and Rebel, like, you know, big dogs in the industry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we had that sit down. We connected ourselves as partners. I brought my expertise as they brought theirs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just brought what I learned from being in Miami, Atlanta, New York, Vegas. And I brought that forward to say, like, you know, let's try to shape the culture.
Yeah.
Before we get into what the club represented, one thing that was really important for me was putting myself in a position to employ my people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To give my people jobs where it wasn't just working for me. You know, I always take care of my people. You ride for me, this and that. I make sure you're good. But now we have, you know, various levels of management, security, brand ambassadors, bar backs, different, you know, various levels of, like, we employing 100 people a night.
Yeah.
Where I could say, let me get my people jobs. Mm-hmm. And put y'all in positions where you get legitimate streams of income, and cool, y'all work with me.
Yeah.
Cool, I'm gonna show you how to get some more money. Not dirty money, but there's, you know, in the club industry, people show up to the club to get rid of their money. All right, cool, we gonna get this money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, as far as her, I feel like, you know, what it did for the culture was an amazing thing. I've been, like I said, I'm somebody, I study industries and cultures and different things. I'm very aware of the Toronto strip club scene over the last decade. And I do feel like we came in the door, we kicked our fucking foot in the door, and we shifted things that you're going to feel in forever.
Yeah.
The urban experience, the dollar bills culture, the ass shaking.
Y'all brought that.
The hustlers. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't just pop up. Like, this wasn't an event. Like, we was almost 4 years in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like at first there was definitely a resistance to accepting what we was trying to bring forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just staying consistent. Just being as professional as possible. Be somebody like myself. Like I said, I'm not from any neighborhood. So I can shake hands and hug the gangsters.
Yeah.
And the street niggas, and show love and make you feel like you that nigga. You show up to a club, or most clubs, you're waiting outside in line. You show up. They don't want to show you no love. There's no hospitality. Our level of hospitality was beyond words. Oh, you outside? Cool. I send security to come walk you from your car. Make sure you're good at the door. Make sure the signs come out on point.
Yeah.
Gold bottles. Oh, you love? I fuck with you? All right, cool. Gold bottles.
Yeah.
Bad bitches. They showing love. No hesitancy. There's no, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a certain energy that was very unique that we're able to, like, give to the people. And once again, like I said, it's not just efforts of myself, because I ain't shit without my team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's a team effort that we're able to, like, put together and be able to, like, give people that experience where, like, for a moment, you're like, fuck, I'm in Mississauga on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Nigga, I feel like I'm in Miami on a weekend. Like, this shit was going crazy.
I wish that I was able to get an opportunity to pop up. Like it's closed down
we,
now.
Yeah, we're getting to that. So before we get to that, you know, we had a lot of NBA players that would pull up, artists, Waka Flocka, Flo Rida, Jeremiah, like, guys would just pop up. Just, it was, you know, guys with me from the States, from Miami, like, yo, I heard y'all got this thing popping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was something that I feel like, you know, it was something for the culture that people were truly proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And we did everything we could do to maintain peace, safety, and, you know, just keep a positive energy in there.
Yeah.
Our security was crazy. 25, 30 securities, our cameras, 45, 50 cameras, like things that people don't know, metal detectors, wands, that's why, like, we super on point. And I stand on this and I'm proud of it. There was never an incident in the club, not even a fight, a ball of war, no straps, no knives, no nothing. Like, we maintained the peace and safety and the positivity in a club.
Yeah.
And without getting into too much of it, you know, there's certain things on the streets that we can't control.
Yeah.
We run in the inside of a club. If something happens outside of Holt Renfrew, are you going to hold Holt Renfrew responsible for it?
Mm-hmm.
You just happen to be in on an intersection that people are looking for guys with money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, long story short, without getting into the details of it, but at this point, we have chosen to evolve the club into a more commercial, type of venue where it's not going to be the same offering or experience, but at the same time, the legend of her is not done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let me stand on that. Without getting into any details, the legend of her is not done.
Okay.
When y'all see it again and feel it again, we will turn up and do it in a way that is still inclusive, but we need to make sure we protect our business, black and brown run companies.
Mm-hmm.
Where the unfortunate truth is, in our communities, we often don't support each other enough and destroy each other.
Yeah.
We found a point, you know, let me just, you know, let me dive off of her and just jump in a rap music.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten to a point where we celebrate the destruction of the black culture and the communities,
mm-hmm.
right? We celebrate that shit. Kill a nigga, smoke a nigga, smoke, whatever. It was like, you don't even think about it. It's just the norm.
Yeah.
White folks ain't talking about killing each other. White folks ain't doing crime and talking about, hey, I just smoked this nigga, robbed this house. Or, you know what I'm saying? And you fuck around and say something about them white folks. And them, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to hold you accountable for it.
But
why are we still celebrating destruction of our own communities? And that goes for businesses. That goes for artists. How many artists we lost in 2022?
Too many, bro.
How many artists we lost in 2022?
Like, from the time I've been podcasting, it's just been
crazy. If you had lost that many artists in any other genre of music, you would call that shit a fucking epidemic.
Yeah.
And imagine you lost like 15 of the top country artists. You'd be like, what the fuck is going on outside?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now to apply that back to the business, it's like we are so welcoming of our culture, niggas with money. They didn't make you feel like a king downtown, nigga. We gonna make you feel like a king. Mm-hmm. I put 10 bad bitches in your booth. Let the sign say anything you wanted to say.
Yeah.
Bottles popping at the good rates. You know what I'm saying? Security in and out the club. Like, we're gonna give you that experience, but y'all got to reciprocate that love.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all want, there's no place in the city now that is gonna show you love like her was showing you love.
Yeah.
So when it's our time to pop up again, whatever we pop up as, whatever energy we bring, like, we just got to make sure that we got to support, defend, and protect these institutions.
Yeah.
Because they would love for them to not, man. They would love for them to not be available for the community.
Yeah.
They would love that shit. I party downtown sometimes. I'm like, this ain't it. Now, no disrespect to downtown, because they getting their money downtown, but I'm like, this is not the experience that we provided.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we make sure, I send my soldiers out, they make sure y'all get in our car good, y'all safe, y'all get on a highway, y'all need whatever the fuck y'all need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't like moving like it was expected. We appreciated y'all presence in the club.
Yeah.
Y'all show up, all right, cool, we appreciate you. Let me show you that love. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, niggas fuck that up.
Yeah,
bro.
But don't get me wrong. This is something, it's not a her issue. It's a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to improve overall. We need to protect our artists, our businesses, our institutions, our everything, and just get better as a culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if it's something like, hey, this was something for us to learn, a learning experience. But I told my partner this. The first house I bought is not going to be the last house.
Mm.
the first business that I get involved in, you know, club business that I get involved in, is not going to be the last one.
Yeah.
I done that before, that from day one. You know what I'm saying? They allowed me to get my feet wet and get into this industry.
Yeah.
An entrepreneur, a hustler mind that thinks outside of the streets. So it's like, all right, cool. You know, what's our next move? Whatever opportunities present themselves, we will make sure that we approach it and we handle it in the most responsible way to make sure we can employ as many people as possible. We can make sure, listen, one thing I love about the hustling culture, about the strip club specifically, is I've seen, you know, people that might have been counted out by mainstream society because of maybe lack of education,
mm-hmm.
tough upbringing, abuse or substance abuse, whatever certain individuals might have gone through, and excel to points where they become millionaires, own properties, or travel the world and live certain type of lifestyles that the average person couldn't achieve.
Yeah.
And that's what I stand for, that hustle mentality, that point of view, right? And that's why when getting into her, I was like, all right, cool, let me stand on that. Let me try to shape as many lives as possible,
mm-hmm.
whether it's my dogs, whether it's these females, you know, doing everything they got to do, whether, you know what I'm saying? Whoever I can affect a positive change in their lives, let me be that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not going to stop with the club being closed. It will always continue from myself, whatever aspect or avenue or industry that I'm in life.
Yeah.
And like I said, for our next time around, I'll make sure that, you know what I'm saying? We cross our T's, we dot our I's, and make sure that everything is on point to make sure that we can continue for a long term. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm definitely looking forward to it, man.
Absolutely. You got to pull up.
No, I'm next. Whatever it is,
yeah.
I'm there.
Now
this
that
time.
We connected,
yeah,
absolutely. We gotta connect and make sure it happens.
Yeah, no doubt,
for sure.
The last thing I want to know now that we've covered, because we've covered a lot of ground in this
absolutely,
conversation,
yeah.
Here. We've gotten the full history of Harvey Stripes,
yeah.
Growing up, the music game,
yeah.
The real estate game,
yeah.
You know, the business owning. What's one thing that Harvey Stripes now would tell a young Harvey Stripes before this travel that you've gone through?
I mean, I think it's important to see life bigger than streets.
Mm-hmm.
If you've only got friends in the streets, find some new friends.
Mm.
I'm not saying get rid of your friends, but, you know, you're only going to make it, not you're only, but, you know, there's a chance that you only make it as big as the environment that you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
If you need to go get a condo, for instance, and you get a real estate agent that's going to get you a condo, make friends with your real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know him. See what real estate agents are up to.
Yeah.
He'll introduce you to a broker that gets mortgages, that might invest you to somebody that's into stocks, that does investments. You know what I'm saying? Like, look outside of your personal circle.
Mm-hmm.
Impact your personal circle with what you learn outside of your personal circle. Bring that energy back home. Employ your people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Empower your people. Knowledge is everything. I could give a nigga $100. Or I could show him how to make $100.
Yeah.
And he gonna make that shit 100 times. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Teach a nigga to fish. And that's how, like, to me, I'm like, I always help out my dogs. I'm privileged because of my ability to navigate through certain hustles. I always look out for my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I always. And I take pride in the fact that I can help out my people. There's times it might have been my last dollar in my pocket. I take care of my niggas knowing I'll get that shit back in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll get that shit back tomorrow. I'll be good. That 100 to me might feel like 1,000 to you. I'll get it back 100 times myself.
Mm.
But in the process, let me teach you how to get it yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it's just about, like, you know, thinking like leaders. The truth is there's not always only one leader in the crew.
Mm-hmm.
There's not only one person in the team that can empower people. Put your fucking entrepreneur hat on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, speak business. Think bigger than yourself. Eliminate glass ceilings. You know what I'm saying? And keep just evolving. And I feel like, you know, like, I live a life where I feel like there's no opportunity or there's nothing that is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I strive to achieve, I will achieve. Whether it's in a month, 6 months, or 6 years, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever I set my sights on, if I say I'm going to have a vacation home in Bora Bora, remember I said this on this podcast, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In this interview, when I get my vacation home in Bora Bora, we're going to chop it. I'm going to fly you out there.
Hey, you know I'm what down.
I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, everything and anything is possible.
Yeah.
Set your fucking goals. Don't live in your sorrows. Don't live in, the world is destined for me to fail.
Yeah.
Then you're going to fail. If you're going to win the game, you got to show up believing you're going to win. Losers show up believing they're going to lose.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the way I look at shit. It's like, there's nothing that I can't accomplish. I'm always going to pursue and push through. And when the world tells me no, fuck it. I'm going to say yes 10 times before I get it. And when I get it, I'm going to look at niggas. And I'm not on no cocky shit like, yo, fuck y'all niggas didn't believe.
Yeah.
You didn't believe, yo, let me show you how to get to it. You know what I'm saying? I don't take no pride in like standing over man. It's like, yo, I got it. Listen, I want to put all my guys on. I feed all my guys and my guys reciprocate that energy with love, protection, support that is priceless.
Mm.
My niggas that are right for me, it's price. I can't put a price on what it, when my mom sometimes asks me, yo, you good? You sure you're outside with that jewelry on? Just not. I said, listen, you just got to know my guys.
Yeah.
My guys, these niggas, it's love. It's genuine. There's times where whether I didn't have and I couldn't support guys or I had and I could, the love is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's not consistent, it's growing every year. You know what I'm saying? And energy goes a long way. So, you know, I just try to project that. You know what I'm saying? And we don't got to live in the dark and like, you know what I'm saying? The destruction of our communities and bringing people down to find our power. Like, I get it. I understand in certain instances and many instances, maybe it's too late to fix.
Yeah.
You know, when you lost close people that you love. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say that I don't sympathize with, with the culture. I get it. It's unfortunate truth. But where we could find our ways out of that, where we could find our ways to like focus on positivity and growth and being productive as a culture and empower our people, that's the shit I stand for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let us all get rich. You know what I'm saying? Rich. Let's all get rich, nigga. Like, this is a goal. It may not happen this year. It may happen 10 years from now. But let's all chase that goal. Let's not chase destruction. I see niggas get hit, lose $1 million, and they still in the street. Y'all had $1 million amongst the gang. And no one's investing. Invest. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Talk to me. I don't want no parts of it. I show y'all niggas. Take that $1 million. Split it up in 10, 100,000 each. Cool. We got properties. We got 10 properties. Them 10 properties going to make a $500,000 on each property. Sit there. Be patient.
Yeah.
Like you're paying your rent, pay your mortgage. Sit, be patient. Wait 5 years. Wait 5 years. Each 100 going to turn to 500. We all get rich. You're not going to be worrying about buying guns in the streets. You're not going to be worrying about robbing dope dealers. You're not going to be worried about snatching niggas' change. Right? You know, you're in an environment, you're like, all right, cool. Let's talk with these Asians and these white folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me invest in a business.
Get to the real bag.
Let me get to the real bag.
Yeah.
Let me make sure my credit is on point. Let me take care of my family and keep them out of danger. Let me empower the youth on their way up that I could stop some people before they get to their ultimate demise.
Yeah.
Right? That's the goal. What are we hustling for? Sometimes I feel like niggas are in a line to go to jail. What?
Nah, fam, it's spooky out here, fam.
It's crazy.
Listen, King, I feel that we got the full story finally.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
This is a long one in the process.
Absolutely.
To get there. But like, I feel like it was necessary to get the full story of Harvey Stripes.
Yeah.
All those other like clips on the internet, not to ignore those.
Yeah.
But like to be able to get this concise story, it's an honor, fam. And I appreciate you coming through, fam.
I appreciate you too, dog.
You know what I'm saying?
Love. Just know it's love.
What do you got coming up for the year? Everything?
Yeah.
So you got any music coming up?
Yeah, most definitely. We got a record I'm about to drop called Busy Being Legendary.
Okay.
And video we shot with my guy, Russian. Basically, the way we put this project together was like, for anybody that's been there for the years writing for what I stand for,
mm-hmm.
or for kids that have been introduced to what I stand for. It's one of those timeless records that I feel like, you know, whether it's the first offering you get from me or the last.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to stand in time as Busy being legendary. I stand on a lot of things that I've been through. We took time, shot the video. You know, we working on this project called While You Were Sleeping.
Okay.
Where it's basically, you know, some of the talks that we were talking about tonight, where it's like, you know, just trying to empower people and give them a positive perspective of a way to think and get up out the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I do have to recognize that, you know, I do have a voice where people do listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, you know, provide some type of knowledge, because knowledge is power, where I can provide some kind of knowledge and help people, you know, bring themselves to a higher level in life in general, whatever I can do, I take pride in that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you know, most definitely, you know what I'm saying? In the next few weeks, you're going to see what the new offering is. I'll make sure you get it first.
Yes, please.
Most definitely. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the legend of Harvey Stripes will never stop. Continue to put people on, continue to shape lives and minds, continue to evolve in businesses, investments, and, you know, just try to do the most for the community that I can possibly do. And when I say me and my team could possibly do, D&D forever, we never gonna die.
Thank you, sir. You know, I'm looking forward to everything that you got coming up in the future, fam.
Most definitely.
And I appreciate you having this convo with me, fam.
Most definitely.
I'm going to take us out here with a tune that we spoke about earlier. A track is called Jokers featuring the boy Nav.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. And big salute to our sponsors, Astro Pink. If you know, you know. Hit him up on their Instagram, myastropink, or astro_pink, and on their website, myastropink.com. Let's go.
Come on. Let's get it.
Let me see here. Where's my volume? Is my volume off? One second. There it is. There we go. Big salute to Nav on the beat. You know what I'm saying?
These niggas, they make me sick.
Come on.
Hey.
Nigga, better hide your bitch if you see us roll up.
All right.
Say you get money, you better show us. Jokers, jokers. Coupe all black like a Batmobile. These niggas is jokers. Jokers, jokers. Trying to paint my
team.
Niggas
know
that
they
don't
want
to smoke. Niggas talk about a plan. I'm straight from Ferragamo. Call a player Harvey, yeah, like a Mexicano. Got a white bitch by my side though.
We love hip-hop.